I'm finding that the problem is not getting them. There's so many magazines out there. First of all, like, it wasn't only my own ones that I had. I've been going to yard sales for years. And you see a stack of something. I've always had the eBay app even before I was an active seller. But even something like that, if I could get a stack of gourmet magazines for $2 for 20 magazines, I'm not going to even look that up. And of course, I'm going to take them. They're gorgeous.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Griffin. This is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information, the inspiration, and everything else you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 170. And we're back in the studio.
We are in both studios today.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, we were in one of our studios, and then I, for safety reasons, have now put Brian and Rebecca, when they're here, in the studio on the other side of the glass. It's actually easier for engineering purposes when we have to do the editing.
But it makes me feel a little bit like a leper.
Good job.
No offense to anyone who... with leprosy out there.
Well, you're a walking petri dish of Omicron, so yeah. I'd just rather keep you in there, but I joke, and I shouldn't, because it is
serious.
Yeah, it is serious. So
it's fast.
We want our sellers to stay healthy, so make sure that you follow all the recommendations for doing so.
Definitely. We want you selling on eBay the rest of 2021 and 22 and beyond.
Right. Even if this podcast doesn't make it.
Well, the podcast will make it.
We'll talk more about that later. Let's read the news for this week, Brian. So first, our hearts go out to all of those that were affected by the severe weather and tornadoes in the southeast, parts of Midwest, and especially Kentucky. I could not, when I saw those pictures,
I was shocked.
I've never seen damage like that before. That was just...
Well, and the number of lives lost, too, was just, oftentimes you see the tornadoes and it's property damage, but not loss of life. And in this time around, it was... dozens and dozens of people. It was sad.
And the entire town of Mayfield. Kentucky.
It was just like leveled. Someone, they were interviewing someone, and he said he was in, I think it was Iraq or Afghanistan. And this ex-soldier said it was worse than anything he saw, when there had been fighting in a city. It's just incredible. Very sad. And our hearts do go out to everyone there, and stay safe and hang with your loved ones.
Unfortunately, I'm pretty sure we will probably have eBay sellers who have been severely impacted by this.
Definitely. And I guess the other piece of news is whenever there are these kinds of weather events, we do protect sellers from shipping delays, basically for items already shipped or if you're having difficulties getting items that you've sold to your carrier. And we continue to closely monitor the situation and provide you with additional support and protections during this challenging time. So please stay safe. Take care of yourself, your family, and your community.
And there's more details about this particular topic on the seller announcement board. Please do check it out.
So the other thing is tickets are now available for the Mint Collective, a first-of-its-kind innovative event for collectors of and investors in sports cards and memorabilia. eBay is the presenting sponsor of the three-day event, which is January 28th through the 30th, 2022, so next month, which will be held at the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas.
Yeah, and attendees can buy, sell, and trade sports memorabilia, trading cards, comics, and toys. You can participate in a live auction, and you can view rare memorabilia. So if that's your thing, and I know for a lot of our listeners it is, maybe this is your first event since the pandemic started. Take a little trip.
Definitely. And Las Vegas is always a fun town.
Especially in the winter when it's not so hot.
Oh, that's true. It does get cool there. On the shipping front, the major carriers are effectively managing peak holiday season volumes, which Jordan mentioned during the seller check-in. While there have been some delays, they've been limited to specific regions and with short durations. Carrier acceptance scan rates remain in line with non-peak rates, while late shipments are being delivered within days of estimated delivery date. That's great news for you, our sellers, and for our buyers or your buyers.
Exactly. For USPS, and in fact, for all three services, there are specific types of services that by the time you're listening to this episode, they have passed. So for example, for USPS, all ground, first class, and priority service deadlines are now passed, except for Priority Mail Express. That you have to ship by the end of day Thursday, December 23rd.
For UPS, all ground service deadlines have now passed, but you can still ship by either three-day select, ship by today, Tuesday, December 21st, or second day air, ship by Wednesday, December 22nd, or next day air, ship by Thursday, December 23rd.
And finally, for FedEx ground and home delivery deadlines, they've passed now, but you can still ship second day and overnight. So second day and second day AM must be shipped by Wednesday, December 22nd. So there are the deadlines for this week. I know that there's some sellers that are going to make sales right up to Thursday, maybe even Friday. Good luck.
Be prepared for the 26th, because oftentimes we get like it's a big bump up in purchases on the 26th from our buyers who are just hanging about their house and decide, oh, they need something.
The 25th. So there's a lot of people that, you know, you've opened their presents. They're very disappointed. They didn't get what they want. So now they're going to sneak off into the other room while everyone else watching whatever they're watching on TV, Hallmark movies, and then they're going to buy something for themselves. Yeah, you want to be ready for that.
And finally, in the news this week, eBay Senior Vice President Jordan Sweetnam last week announced the 2021 class of up-and-running grant recipients. 50 eBay sellers were awarded $10,000 to help grow their businesses, along with access to additional training, resources, and mentorship.
And this is the second consecutive year we've run this grant program, and it's been well-received. eBay received more than 10,000 powerful submissions, and our 2021 recipients come from 25 different states, and they sell in a whole range of categories, including apparel, sneakers, luxury watches, handbags, trading cards, comics, electronics, sports equipment, parts and accessories, and basically every category.
And you can view the list of grantees on the eBay Inc. blog at www.ebayinc.com, or you can find it on the Seller News announcements in the community under Seller News.
I think anyone who listens to this podcast with any regularity may have detected a subtle purpose for us reading the news every week, which is we're trying to get you to the SNA, the Seller News Announcement Board.
And I should put a little thing in there that says, hey, there's this little component in the Seller News that says options. And if you click on options, there's a subscribe button. And if you select subscribe, when we post a new announcement, we'll send you a notice. You don't have to then think, oh, I need to go.
Yeah.
So subscribe to the Seller News.
And that way, in future episodes, when we're reading news from the Seller News announcement, you can sit there rolling your eyes saying, I already know all of this. I got the announcement, the text alert on my text, and now I know. You guys are just so
maybe
beyond
we'll
the
get
time.
A question eventually about that. Why do you keep reading the news when I've subscribed to it?
Oh, brother, are we self-destructing or what? Anyway, we're going to speak to a lot of the up-and-running grant recipients in the coming weeks, and starting with some good friends of ours from Chicago, from Elk Grove.
And there's a whole bunch of really good candidates, and it'll be great to see Rich and Nyla on the show.
So Appealing Signs is their business on eBay, and so Rich and Nyla Siak, a lot of you may know them from the Ecom event they do, Ecom Chicago every year, which has become quite a popular event and hopefully will resume once the pandemic calms
yes.
down.
And they also host a monthly meetup in Chicago as well, and they've been doing it virtually as well.
I have such good memories of that meetup. I tried to go every year, you know, even I think the first time I went was over 10 years ago and was always at that steakhouse.
Yes.
And, oh, God, they were quite a great crowd, and the food was wonderful.
I think one time I had to go and talk about how we changed standards, and it was not so much fun.
Well, I used to always leave that task to you. I only went and talked about great things. Like, oh, isn't it wonderful? Let's talk about fun stuff. Now the bad news, Brian. Will you please come up and address the crowd? Anyway, now it's time for our guest. We've got a great guest coming up.
We do.
Again, someone who reached out to me and said, can I be on the podcast? And I'm thinking, I wish more people would do this. It makes it so much more interesting and easy for me to find guests when they come to us.
I thought you reached out to him only because it's such a great story. That's fantastic.
He sent an email to podcast@ebay.com saying, hey, I just want to tell you, I love listening to the podcast. I've been doing really well. It's just been 1 year of full-time selling. I've gone basically from zero to ETRS. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, that's the great title for the episode. And he said, I'd love to be on the podcast. I messaged him back immediately and said, yes, 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 please, yes.
Yeah.
So he's coming up. Our guest this week started selling full-time at the start of 2021. And by following the advice we give in the podcast, or so he's told me, He's grown steadily since then to reach top-rated seller status on eBay. Congratulations to our guest. His user ID on eBay is Mass Magazine Man, and his eBay store name is Mass Mags and More. Chris Fallone, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. Great to be here. Big listener.
Brian's joining us.
I am. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you.
Chris, what's with this user ID, Mass Magazine Man?
I'm in Massachusetts. Not that I want to limit myself, but a lot of the magazines I have are, you know, Massachusetts related. At the same time, I'm selling magazines, so that's the magazine part. I'm a man, but I'm also selling, you know, mass and massive amounts of magazines. So, you know, it's kind of a double entendre of sorts. And as for the store, you know, that Mass Mags and More, it's kind of like, you know, the reason Bed Bath had to throw the Beyond. They didn't want to get limited to just those things. So, you know, a couple other media items that are under that tent. But yeah, I'm the Mass Magazine Man. Just kind of worked. I didn't overthink it. I just started selling. And next thing you knew, I need to figure this out. You all kind of put people on the spot right away.
Yeah, that's our job. You don't sell bath towels or bath mats or shower implements.
No.
When you say you sell anything mass.
Anything media. You know, so.
Oh, media, mass media.
You know, okay. Yeah, books, CDs, but I do have a lot of stuff that is mass. So, you know, whether they're Sports Illustrated's with Larry Bird on the cover, a lot of big Boston sports things going on. Also, you know, I could nerd out on magazines all day, but a lot of magazines came from Massachusetts. It's a rich place to be spelunking.
I'll say rich. I can't afford to live there anymore. Where in Massachusetts are you located? Inside Boston?
Right on the border. So I'm still on the train, right, more like in the Quincy area.
South.
Yeah, right, and south. You know, people in Boston, they either go south or north, never both. So I've migrated south.
You don't really have a very thick Massachusetts accent. Are you from Massachusetts?
No, I'm from New York originally. So a lot of my collection is also, you know, whether it's, you know, New York Mets or hip hop and graffiti magazines. I actually started as a magazine writer, writing for a lot of music magazines. You know, a lot of my collection comes from, I wrote for Spin for years. I wrote for The Source magazine. A lot of my early stock, I kind of cheated. I just had it. They were extras. But yeah, I'm from New York originally, and the accent's kind of stuck in between somewhere in I-95.
Connecticut.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the worst accent in the world. It's no accent. Can you tell if anyone's from Connecticut by their accent?
It's tough.
I can't. Is it true that you really started selling full-time? I mean, I hope it is, because that's how we promoted this entire segment. But you started selling full-time at the beginning of 2021.
Well, I mean, right at that juncture, I didn't know it was going to be a 20, 30 increasing number of hours a week gig. But, you know, I'm a media person. I went quite a while without a paycheck before I kind of realized, hey, I have this stock I can start with, and I have this little niche, and I know where to source these things. I didn't put it all together, so it wasn't really a plan. But I got to say, you know, after the first month or so, and you get those days where you really, I had one of them just yesterday, you know, sell 10, 12 items, you start to realize that it's a numbers game. The more I put up, the more I'll sell, the more active I am. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but you know, since I am a media person, I knew how to, you know, bring on the accoutrements, all the bells and whistles, the Instagram, doing a podcast related to it. So, you know, as we say it, and it ain't nothing. And I love it, you know. So is it full time? I mean, I guess it's my third full time job, but certainly moving into 2021. In fact, just past the office, I'm probably going to rent to move this into and out of the basement. Yeah, I mean, call it what you want. We're all gig economy workers out here. But yeah, it started as a supplement, but now it's something I just look to grow and grow, and looks like I'm able to.
You have a big stock of inventory from your previous days.
I do. And the other thing about magazines is your stock overnight can increase by 2,000. I mean, I just picked up 250 Iron Horse Chopper motorcycle magazines for a couple bucks, and then 150 Architectural Digest that we picked up for free. Next thing you know, your living room could be filled with these things. And yes, I did have an initial stock that was pretty significant. I'm a hoarder of sorts. I have no regrets. I'm the person who people who worked with me at newspapers and magazines 20 years ago, I'm the one they reach out to, and they're like, "Oh, you know what? I need that clip. It's not on the internet." As I've taught journalism also, as I tell the students, not everything's on the internet. You know, there's a reason for the print. It's not just cheap nostalgia. But in any case, yeah, I had a lot of my stock, and that was fine. I was happy to get rid of a lot of that. I still have multiples of anything I've ever published. But, you know, even if I was writing for a magazine and I didn't have something in a certain issue, I still had 10 copies of those. And magazines like The Source, those are worth, you know, $20 each now. It really adds up.
Chris, for me, I kept thinking about like old bookstores, like used bookstores, used to be the repository for all those kinds of magazines that you're picking up now and selling on eBay.
Absolutely. And, you know, used bookstores are one place. I'm finding that the problem is not getting them. There's so many magazines out there. First of all, like, it wasn't only my own ones that I had. I've been going to yard sales for years. You know, you see a stack of something. I've always had the eBay app even before I was an active seller. But even something like that, if I could get a stack of gourmet magazines for $2 for 20 magazines, I'm not going to even look that up. And of course, I'm going to take them. They're gorgeous. I'll give them out as gifts. I give them to friends. Anybody who knows me, has ever invited me to a birthday party, knows that I come with, you know, more magazines and probably, you know, somebody at your house wants dumped on your front lawn. But, you know, that's the kind of person I've always been. So I have this stuff. But even now, there's just so many magazines out there. I just came from one of my local Goodwills. And with Goodwill, I found that a lot of them just, they either don't accept magazines or they throw them out.
Yeah.
They can't deal with them. So, right. Of course, my stepfather had a meat business for years. And in the restaurants, they just yell in the kitchen, "Hey, someone call the meat man." So he just had these signs on the wall that he would give that say the meat man with a phone number, right? I have the Mass Magazine Man sign. And I give them to the guys at Goodwill. I tell them I'll pay up to $1 an issue. Here's what I don't want. I don't want National Geographic, et cetera. So it's kind of like sourcing, like, you know, they're these beautiful, valuable things. Some people will be on Craigslist thinking that their Playboys are worth $1 million and they're not. On the other hand, you get these people who are happy to have you take these 2,000 pounds worth of Architectural Digest out of their second floor of their beautiful house in suburban Massachusetts.
For free,
yeah.
So
he goes into wealthy people's homes and steals their Architectural Digest magazines.
No, I'm a real come off like a real stand-up individual.
Yeah, you know, I have to Goodwill. I went there once thinking, oh, I've got all these books, and they'll, you know, it was not a truck full, a few boxes of books. And on that day, they said, nope, we're not taking any books. And I thought, what am I supposed to do with these at this point? Well, you could sell them on eBay, someone said.
I mean, I'm increasingly liking books, I should say.
For selling on eBay.
Yeah, I read. I'm a big reader, and I just kind of have an eye for, you know, even at a distance, what, you know, what's from the 70s as opposed to, you know, something more mass market and more contemporary. Those kind of nice dust jackets with the great fonts. You know, I could spot a Stephen King. It doesn't take that much. They're a mile thick. But from across a Goodwill, I've sold, you know, several for Stephen King first editions.
How big is your operation?
I have about 400 listings, but some of those are, you know, a dozen magazines. Some of them are actually 50 magazines. You know, I think about $20,000 worth of inventory, eBay retail value wise, and growing. I mean, I'm adding $1,000 worth of motorcycle magazines today, and I'm getting more creative with the listings. Those will be, you know, that'll be a multiple listing. With one-off stuff, you don't get a lot of listings. I've had a lot of success with Modern Drummer magazine. The individual ones sell for $30, $40, $50, your big drummers, your Neil Peart from Rush, Tommy Lee, guys like that. And then for a full year, you get $50, $60 sometimes, at least $39.99.
The drummer magazines with Neil Peart, did they go up in value after he passed away?
Yeah, I mean, you hate to chase ambulances and coffins, but absolutely anything if you're, you know, doing stuff music related. You know, I was a music writer for years, so I have another store that I just have hip-hop stuff in. I might bring that over to Mass Magazine, man. We'll see. But there was so much to start with. Great rapper, hero of mine, MF Doom, had passed away. And I couldn't even believe it. I mean, actually, I'm sitting here in front of an MF Doom lunchbox. I had like six or seven of those, and they were selling for hundreds of dollars each. So stuff like that. One thing I always say about magazines is there are people who just collect magazines, right? They're just into magazines no matter what they are. I'm kind of one of those people. But most of the people I've had these great conversations with, that's one of the great things about eBay, of course, just asking, hey, what are you going to do with this? You know, what are you into? A lot of them, they're a motorcycle person, so they also like the magazines, right? Or they're big into Disney, so they have to have every Disney magazine, and so on and so on. For me, it's one of the most versatile things to sell. It's also natural. It's something I love. Every bundle that comes in, a couple get skimmed off the top for my own collection, of course. At least in my case, a lot of people said, Chris, we always were worried about the day where you would start purging this stuff. You're not going to be a collector anymore. And rest assured, my collection has only grown. So literally, that's no exaggeration.
Grown in number and in quality.
Another thing I just want to say is that with magazines, not like I'm trying to get everybody else into them, but they're so special. And you can always find a magazine that resonates with someone. But at the same time, it's not like records or even cassettes now or Nintendo games where everyone is like fighting over them like it's Black Friday. okay, how many great records can I have? I have thousands of records. That game is kind of over. With magazines, it's still fun. You still get these bundles for free. You can still stumble upon a George magazine, which is they're selling for $2,000-$3,000 on eBay right now.
The other thing that's kind of interesting with the magazines is it's not just the magazine itself, but like you mentioned, it's like who's in the magazine. Like, is there a great photo of someone in the magazine? Is there an article or an interview with somebody? All of those things can be appealing to someone.
Absolutely. So there are people who buy magazines for me, and I also sell some advertisements. You know, that people will pay $10 for a vintage hip-hop ad, or they'll buy a whole magazine. I had a Runner magazine that people go nuts after because it's the first Nike ad in print. So I think that magazine sold for like $35.
When did that happen?
When was it sold? Probably about 3 months ago.
No. When was this magazine? What year?
It's the first issue of, I think it's called The Runner magazine. It would be the 70s, I believe. The ad is, it's kind of like almost an aerial shot of a giant open road, probably in Oregon, of somebody just jogging solo. And, you know, as it's been explained to me, like, that just wasn't a thing, which, you know, the idea that Phil Knight invented running is kind of crazy to me. But I don't think it's true. But hey, if somebody wants to pay $35 for the issue, I'll take it.
I can guarantee you I was running in the 60s, not efficiently, maybe not to style or standard, but I was running. What's your biggest challenge these days? Now that you're into this almost a year selling full time, what are you finding is your biggest challenge?
Well, I'm going to start with, I'm glad that I did pick magazines because it's like scalable. I love toys. I love stuff like that too, but I wouldn't be able to have this kind of inventory. You know, magazines really stack very well. They're easy to organize, list, label. They're almost all the same size. The ones that aren't are kind of a pain. The Ladies Home Journal at the time. But my biggest challenge is now, it's just a reality of looking at the numbers. And if I want to get this big, this is what I have to do. And I'm at the point now where I do have somebody helping me because it takes hours to bag hundreds of magazines. Now, the challenge there is, if I'm paying somebody, is it still going to be worth it? So suddenly it's not so easy because the margins are so great where, you know, when you're buying magazines for 10 cents, if that each, and selling them for no less ever than 10. So usually the margins are great. But suddenly when all these other expenses start coming in, it gets interesting. There are definitely some shipping challenges with magazines.
Shipping challenges. Can you outline them?
Basically, depending on the size of the magazine, you're probably going to come in at under a pound for one magazine, unless it's like a giant Vanity Fair or, you know, a magazine from a Vogue. Some of those, you know, just picture the thickest Vogue. So those are first class up to a pound. After you get over a pound, your best friend is the flat rate priority envelope. That is your best friend in the world. But the challenge is when you get over that pound. Some people might say, you know, eBay does give the option of shipping magazines via media mail. But you really have to be careful because magazines are not supposed to be shipped media mail if they have advertisements in them. Now, do all magazines have advertisements? No, they don't. Magazines like Adbusters deliberately doesn't have ads. But there are some magazines that really do sell quite well. College magazines, sometimes they'll sell. Believe it or not, people buy alumni magazines. So not everything has ads. There's also this philosophical dilemma of, is an ad from 100 years ago an ad? Is that,
That's true.
You know?
What's an ad for a product that is no longer around?
Yeah, and I have these old Fortune magazines. They got ads for like Pierce Arrow. There's no such thing.
If you asked five different people at five different post offices this question, you'll get five different answers. So, but you know, you want to always kind of play it on the up and up. That, oh, you know, 1 pound to 2 pound range, that does get kind of interesting and dicey. But I got to be honest, if people want this magazine, they'll want it. Somebody on your show said about mugs, like I think you said, like, you sell mugs for $30 to $50. And they said, well, if somebody had that mug and they broke it, they'll do anything to replace it.
Exactly.
And when it comes to these magazines, I think, you know, for me, certainly, when there's been magazines that I had in the past that I just absolutely had to have, okay, whatever, I'll pay $10 to get it shipped to me. You know, and that also kind of leads into, we are dealing with a lot of, you know, one-off customers, whereas I'm starting to experiment with coupons and stuff like that and having some success. It remains to be seen because I'm still new at this, how much of that repeat business there is. But, you know, like I gotta say, the best I could do now is just kind of give them the best service, pack everything, you know, really nicely on the way in the door, especially now that I have, you know, the best thing I could do is really present well. By the way, I gotta say, I know almost everything is a testament to the depth of eBay, but magazines are mind-blowing. Like the fact that I can find like a regional magazine from like, you know, the Pacific Northwest that's about hip hop from 1986. And that somebody sold that in the past 6 months, it is nice to be able to do that every now and then. Like some of these Iron Horse Chopper magazines that I have right now, they're really nice. There's not that many of them. Some people will just go on and, you know, like, I get it. You have 10 of them and you'll give them away for $20. But these magazines are worth at least $5 each. So we're going to see if we can kind of build that market like that. I've done it with a couple other things. And so I think a bit of it's a waiting game, which also plays into why it's so good that magazines are easy to stack. I have a stack of these German National Geographic type magazines called Geo. They're gorgeous. They're really just absolutely beautiful. And, you know, they're $90 for the year. There's a bulk discount if people want a few of them. But you know what? I waited six months. I hauled these things. I didn't pay much for them, but I kept my price. And just 2 weeks ago, somebody bought the first one. I still have a couple of years left on that. And listen, nobody has them in this country. So, you know, there are people I don't
know. Well, not right now.
Yeah. Well,
after this podcast, someone might have them.
There's a lot of italics when it comes to this magazine, right? In eBay speak, right? So when I see a lot of italics, something that's really hot in Europe, but there's not a lot of them stateside. I also have some kind of like political satire magazines, private eye magazines from the UK, stuff like that. So, hey, I'll sit on them. I enjoy them. My friends like reading them too. So,
do you ever use free shipping or do you have the buyers pay? And then the other question is, you talked about kind of setting the market. Do you ever use auction to kind of test out the value of an item?
I was like putting everything on auction until I started listening to the podcast and heard the percentages. And also then I kind of looked at my numbers and it was just silly. And now it just makes sense that, you know, that there are just some things that it just, no matter how great they are, they're not really going to be big auction items. So I really save that for something that's kind of hotter or where I just really have a really good deal to give away. But I, at the same time, I still am not convinced that I have a big enough audience that even if I am giving away this, you know, great thing. So of course I'll have to play with the reserves, but I think more, you know, I do some cassettes and stuff like that too. I've had some success with auctions. Cassettes are just super hot right now. I think it's, you know, there's obviously an analog boom. Everybody knows that. Cassettes are also, they're just cute. You could put them on if you have a small apartment.
Cute.
Yeah. People, you know, instead of like a giant poster, it's like, okay, I like Madonna. I don't need a whole poster.
Is she still a thing?
I don't know. I sell the tapes from 30 years ago. But basically, yeah, cassette tapes, I bought 1,700 cassette tapes for like $200. And you know, I made my money back immediately because there were about 50 heavy metal tapes and some of those sell for up to $100, $120.
It's interesting because I know a lot of sellers who do CDs, but I had not heard cassette.
CDs I've done on my hip hop page, which is Hip Hop Notables, done tons and tons of CDs. But yeah, cassettes are worth a lot more. If you have the same thing in a cassette and in a CD, in hip hop at least, I can't speak for every genre. You learn, you know, things you don't know. So the genres I didn't know when I bought those 1,700 cassettes, turned out like 300 of them were classical. So I'm like, oh, I don't know anything about classical music. I like listening to them. They're peaceful when I'm working. But I you know what I learned? Here's a little thing. There's a thing called chromium dioxide. Chromium dioxide is this kind of cassette tape that only classical music is recorded on or was for a certain period of time. The quality is actually superior to CD. Yeah, it was this late development in analog that never really caught on because the world had moved on. But anyway, these are good for, you know, $4 or $5 a pop in the classical world. So I had another little gold mine under my gold mine.
I'm taking notes.
When it comes to cassettes, it's pretty simple. If it's something that looks like your parents were going to take it away from you, Megadeth, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, if your parents thought you were going to pray to Satan, it's worth a ton of money.
Right. If it looks like it'd make Tipper Gore angry.
Largely because of that. And, you know, and if it looks like it was printed on a photocopy machine in 1974, you might have $500,000. It might have the first Ramones tape on your hands. You know, they say about punk rock, this stuff really wasn't kept well. You know, it was thrown around. Just think about it, right? You know, nobody, it wasn't very punk rock to have your beautiful little punk rock record on the shelf. So if you do have that in great condition, same thing with Pokemon cards, sports cards from, you know, from the 50s when people actually still flipped them. That's, you know, same idea with music. And with magazines, conditions are a totally different thing. People, if they want the magazine, they want the magazine. I think that, not to pander too much, but I think the eBay, the way they have the classification for magazines, which is very simple, it's acceptable, good, very good, excellent, brand new, or like new, brand new. That's all you really need. And that's really worked well for me. And you're just honest with it. But yeah, cassettes, that's kind of it's a niche upon a niche. And sometimes I'll put the cassette with a magazine cover, you know,
A little mix and match pair there.
Merchandising.
You've been doing this for a while. You've had sufficient experience to eBay. Chris, you feel you could help or mentor a brand new seller or someone who is considering going full time on eBay? It's the man on the street who finds out you're selling on eBay. Do you feel safe giving them advice?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, totally. And I already have friends working with me and kind of, you know, people who had sold a little bit or are interested at least in helping me source stuff. And one thing I will say, I was kind of prepared in one sense is I have a shipping desk, a work table in my basement. And when you're not a regular seller, you know, and you have 12 packages to ship in one day, that's intense. Suddenly, you know, your house is not a house anymore. It's it's a warehouse.
Exactly. Hard to live in.
I was kind of prepared for that. I already kind of had a nice, some space, even though I don't have a large house. I did have some space and my shipping stuff was set. I was familiar with shipping. I think I understand why it can be intimidating to people, but I've just worked in small businesses, family businesses. I'm comfortable around UPS. I'm comfortable around the Postal Service. I speak the language. And so I guess that just kind of helped. So I don't want to act like this is the kid who was born on third base and hit a home run. I had some advantages. Like I said, I know how to play the media stuff, right? The social media, the Instagram, that doesn't have a huge following, but it does drive traffic. I know how to do Google ads. I spend about, you know, $3 to $5 a day and it's hugely helpful. I mean, I don't have the direct tracking, so I don't know exactly who's buying what, but the fact that I'm driving hundreds of views to my eBay page that, you know, it's people who wouldn't be there. And just knowing how to do that. So I had a leg up. And same with the shipping. It was yet another leg up. And I'm also fortunate. Listen, I have a car, even though I live near the city. This works for me. And I'm really seeing that it's as scalable as I want it to be. I can go up and it won't go down. It won't go that way. But we'll see just how fast. I don't want to go completely nuts because I think part of it is I think magazines will see their day. I think there's going to be a time where you're not going to be able to just pick up magazines and billions will literally be thrown out between now and then. So I'm not complaining. There's plenty, but
I'm so tempted to be a diver for dumpsters.
Yeah. Well, these are the things. And, you know, it's, you know, one thing about magazines that really always never ceases to amaze me is how even if people don't really try to keep them in good shape, they stick together magazines. If there's 10 magazines, they've kept each other straight over the years. And, you know, I also collect typewriters and I have a bunch of them, mostly Royals. And I always love them because it could be in someone's basement for 100 years. It's in a bomb-proof case. You open it up and it looks like nobody's ever used it. Nobody's touched it since 1967.
People want to start using them. It's kind of a reaction to having everything be computer keyboard and they want that tactile feel. Chris, it's been a pleasure talking to you and learning just how important magazines are. And I have to make a confession. I threw some out last year. I feel so terrible. What an idiot I was.
Let me just tell you one more. I go to the guys at the dump. I went to the dump with my flyers and I still haven't heard from the guys, but they did tell me, and you know, this is like, you talk about hitting the dump lottery. I almost did. The guy said, you wouldn't believe it, but we pulled a van full of magazines out of the library in my town the week before. And I go, oh my God. No. But I said, you know what? At least you got my number for next time.
Yeah. When the next van comes in. Chris, best wishes for you in 2022 with your business on eBay, and we hope you have a safe and happy holiday.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you. Same to you, too. I really appreciate it. This has been great.
Chris Verone sells on eBay under the ID Mass Magazine Man. We'll put the link to that and his store, which is Mass Mags and More, in our transcript for episode 170.
You got questions?
We've got answers.
And how many questions in the queue this week, Griff?
Well, I'm so excited. Let me count them. Let's see. Okay. We got one. Okay.
Just one?
We got
really?
One. Yeah, we got one question, Brian. Yeah, sorry. Let me double check to make sure I didn't miss any of maybe 10 or 20 sitting in another folder. Hold on. Yeah, just one.
Well, one is better than none, Griff.
I guess all of our sellers are content, Brian. There's not a seller anywhere on the face of the planet except for the one we have this week. No seller anywhere has any questions about selling on eBay. None.
Well, perhaps our job here on the podcast is done.
Wait a minute. I think you're onto something. It could be. Let's answer this one question from Jason, and then we'll talk about closing up shop here for good.
That's a little overdoing it, Griff.
Perhaps. We'll see. Why don't you read this one question? It could be our swan song.
Starting to worry me. I've just started to get comfortable in this seat.
Well, don't get too comfortable.
Hello, Brian, Rebecca, and Griff.
Wait, shouldn't that be goodbye?
Okay, now I'm really beginning to worry. One question and one request. Question. In the GSP, also known as the Global Shipping Program, do we only have to pay to get the item to Kentucky and that is it? No extra fees? No nothing else? Just toggle to GSP and we can ship anywhere in the world that eBay allows for the price of shipping to Kentucky, Sounds a little too easy, if you ask me. What am I missing?
He must be from Massachusetts. He sounds suspicious.
Spoken like someone from Massachusetts.
Yeah, we're suspicious of everything.
So, and his request, in the seller hub under active listing, please create a column in the customized table options link that allows us to organize and sort items by store category. That would be so helpful to view items in our store at once. If I was a business owner, I'd like to walk over to my book section and make adjustments to my book area at the same time, etc. Thanks, crew. I love the podcast and apply your advice often. Jason, eBay Store, The Curio Cabinet, member since 2003. And Griff, I have to say, that is a really good idea.
Well, it is a great idea, except it's kind of, I just realized something. It actually kind of exists already, so we can tell him how. I'm thinking while you're saying that, yeah, it's a great suggestion, and we'll tell the product team, and we will. But I just went to my Manage Active Listings page because I know there's a search area on the top. You want to go there while I'm talking? If you look in Seller Hub on the Active Listings page, there's a little search area, and one of them is all categories is the criteria. And if you click that, you can search by eBay categories, or you can search by your own store categories. So I have store categories, and I'm going to look at all of the, let's see, what do I have? Health and beauty products. And then I'll search by that. I'll just click search, and there's everything. I have, what, not very many items, only, how many in here? Eight items currently listed in the health and beauty category in my store.
Now, where did you go for that?
So go to the top of the page, yeah. See where it says search, manage active listings, and then underneath that, there's a little search area.
Within Seller Hub?
No. You have to go, Brian. Sometimes, you know, you're so precious. You go to the active listing view in Seller Hub. So go to listings and then active.
Yeah, I see search.
And then look where it says
categories.
Categories. You can select from your store categories.
I have it defaulted to my store categories.
Yeah, I did too. The only thing is, I'm not. This looks correct to me. Yeah, cameras. I have a few cameras right now. Let's see what.
So you could do it by category. So I can choose my video games.
Yeah.
And search, and theoretically, I'm only going to get video games.
Well, because he says if he was a business owner, you know, like at a bookstore, he'd walk over to the book section, he'd make adjustments to his book area at the same time, etc. So you can do that right now. You can already do this. Jason, I feel like we've given you the best Christmas present ever.
We just developed it.
Overnight. And we made it happen. Aren't we wonderful? Don't you hope that we don't go away?
Do you know, I think this is a really good example of something, though, which is we're at the company and we talk to product folks all the time. Both of us sell. I don't sell as much as you, but we both sell. But it's hard to know all of the intricacies of the product. And I think questions like this are really good. And I hope our listeners don't think just because they don't know it, it's kind of like a question that there isn't, I don't know, they shouldn't ask. Because this was good. I didn't know that I could go do that. And I must have done it at some point because it was defaulted to my own store.
Yeah, I think it might default there. I'm not sure. I think it doesn't really. It's all categories. No, maybe it doesn't default. I don't know.
Because it's eBay categories and it was, and then store categories, and it was defaulted to store categories.
Right.
Boy, I learned something new.
Yeah, me too. Jason, thank you so much. Would you like to host a podcast?
Yeah.
We'll be leaving now.
Bye. See
actually,
you later.
What I would like is Jason to send more questions in.
Well, unfortunately, that's it, Brian. Yeah. Jason's question could turn out to be our very last You Got Questions. And I don't mean just for 2021.
I don't think you're serious, Griff.
Yeah, you don't?
Dramatic, maybe.
Oh, good sir.
In fact, overly dramatic.
You cut me to the quick.
Now you're really being dramatic.
Acting! Brilliant!
My point exactly.
Yeah, okay.
But hey, I'll play along. So folks, if you want to keep the eBay for Business podcast on the air and Griff acting, then call us on 888-723-4630 and leave a question.
An ultimatum. How novel, Brian. That's 888-723-4630. And the best part, you can call that hotline any time of the day, any day of the week, and you can leave your question or comment, and if it's appropriate, we'll put it on the air.
There's any air to put it on.
A cliffhanger. Will the eBay for Business podcast return in 2022? Tune in next week.
And if you're not a call-on-the-phone person, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast at ebay.com.
Don't forget what could be your absolutely final daily podcast to-do list.
I don't even know if I want to respond to that, you know, continuing threat that it would be the last one.
Come on, humor me.
Check out the announcement board for up-to-date seller news, even if the podcast isn't here.
Right. That's where we'll announce it. It'll be announced that the podcast is dead. It'll be on SNA. The second point, you can keep the podcast alive by sending us or calling in your questions, please.
And check out the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to see the links we reference during the episode.
Now, on our next episode, if there is a next episode, it'll be a best of 2021 episode with excerpts from interviews past
and future.
Fingers crossed, Brian.
We'd like to again thank our guest this week, Chris Ferrone from Mass Mags and More.
The eBay for Business podcast is...
Wait.
What?
Aren't you forgetting something, Griff?
What? I don't think so.
Griff, I can't believe you forgot.
What's Rebecca doing here?
It is Rebecca.
Welcome, Rebecca. What's up?
I snuck down the chimney because you forgot to say something.
What did I forget to say?
Happy holidays to all of our listeners and all of the sellers out there in podcast land.
Oh, dear. I did forget. I even forgot to put that in the script. Oh, I feel terrible. What a Scrooge.
And you even have the Santa beard. You should remember that.
I'll try to keep it in mind. And it's true. I mean, I joke, but of course, you know that this was arranged. Our audience isn't that dumb.
But we do wish them a very happy holiday and hopefully a very successful 2022.
Absolutely.
Yes. Happy New Year to everyone. And here's to a great year.
Thanks, guys. Stay safe. The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn Podcast 411.